Welcome to We Will Stand on the Mormon Channel from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. We Will Stand is a program of faith, hope, and joy for young women around the world. Physical intimacy was established for the creation of children to fulfill Heavenly Father's plan. It was created as an expression of love so sacred and pure that it needs to be saved for your eternal companion. We must stick to the high standards that we've been taught in order to protect ourselves from falling into temptation or giving into peer pressure.
We are so pleased to welcome you to our discussion this day on the Mormon Channel. My name is Sister Karen Ashton, and I am a member of the Young Women's General Board, and I am here with a beautiful group of young women. I would like them to introduce themselves to you and tell you just a little bit about themselves.
I'm Rachel Tittenser, and I'm a Laurel. Something I enjoy doing is running on my high school cross-country team.
Great.
My name is Kiara Norton, and I'm a Laurel, and I absolutely love to sing.
I'm Ludovica Giusti. I'm a Laurel. I'm 17, and I'm from Italy.
I'm Anne-Marie Bitter. I'm a Maya maid, and I like to play tennis.
I am very interested in introducing to you Ludovica because she brings an international flavor, and we are thrilled to have you with us. This is just to reach out to all of you wherever you are, all over the earth. This is a beautiful topic we're going to talk about today. And when I received the assignment to speak about this topic, I was actually overjoyed because I realized it was a significant topic. Would any of you like to share how you felt when you were called to speak about sexual purity?
I was really excited, actually, about this because this is something that I feel very strongly about and that I just really was excited to share my testimony about.
Great, Rachel. Anybody else? Yes, Anne-Marie?
I was excited because I was like, this is just really important. And I don't know, I thought it'd be really fun.
Yes, Ludovica?
I felt happiness in my heart and I felt like a big topic because sexual purity is very important to our life. So I was so happy.
Yeah. Kiara?
Well, just like the other girl said, I was happy. I was overwhelmed a little bit. But then when we got to talking and realizing how important it is for everyone to know how important it should be in their lives, I was really excited to talk about it.
I want to read you a quote from President Packer. He said, "To be entrusted with the power to create life carries with it the greatest of joys and dangerous temptations, the gift of mortal life and the capacity to kindle other lives is a supernal blessing. Through the righteous exercise of this power, as in nothing else, we may come close to our Father in heaven and exercise a fullness of joy. This power is not an incidental part of the plan of happiness. It is the key, the very key." So the first question I want to ask you is, why? We talked about how important this subject is. Why is it so important? Why are we here today to discuss it?
Well, Christ gives us such an important responsibility that we have to hold, and it's just such an important thing that we understand what its meaning is and understand that we need to keep that responsibility. We need to uphold that responsibility.
Does this affect only your life? The choices you make in this regard, does it affect only your life?
No, it affects us, not only us, but our future families, our families now, our friends. It affects generations.
Why do you say that it affects generations?
Because if we set the example of being pure ourselves, then the generations following us will want to follow that example as well. So we're really being a shining example now, wherever we are.
Okay.
And along with that, like throughout the eternities and after, you want to be with your family forever and you want to like have them in that celestial covenant like that we make in the temple, and you really want to be with them forever. And that's how it can like happen through generations by being pure.
Does it affect anybody right now?
It affects your family right now. I'm the oldest in my family, and so I'm setting that example for my younger siblings. And if I choose to make a wrong decision, well, they're most likely to follow in that because they think it's okay because their older sister did it.
Interesting. Yes.
I think our choice affects also young men in this time because they're searching for a wife and a right people to marry. So we have to show our example right now and be pure towards our eyes.
So they're looking for someone yeah. to marry, and you want to be that kind of example, the young woman. Tell me, how do you think that you can protect your virtue? How do you keep yourself in a spot where it's easier to be sexually pure?
I think it's really important to choose your friends wisely and to really surround yourself with those that are righteous influences on you.
Why do you say that?
Because they influence so much. Your friends, you spend a lot of time with them in school or after school with so many different things. And I think they just really affect what you do and what you think. So it's definitely very important.
Great. Okay, Kiera.
I think it's really important to set your own limits and to know the standards that you are upheld to.
When you talk about set your own limits, what process are you talking about?
Well, I think it's really important to go to the First Strength of Youth and to see what the sexual purity section says about that, and then to go to the Lord and ask Him if all of that is true and make sure that you understand that, and then going on with yourself and setting your own type of limits.
I think that is a great idea, setting your own limits and choosing your friends carefully. Is there anything else that might put you in a place to protect your virtue and keep yourself sexually pure? Yes, Anne-Marie.
Well, one of the presidents said that with that, like, you need to dress modestly, but not even just that. You need to act modestly. And sometimes people will just think of it as, like, bookwork, but the way you talk, the way you present yourself, the way you treat others, it all projects on how your standards are kept up and what you feel towards certain things.
Now, you said something about modesty. Why do you think that that might be an issue in protecting your virtue?
Everyone says that, you know, you should always keep holy thoughts and you want to help other people keep clean thoughts too.
Wonderful. So the way you look might affect someone else's thoughts. Does anybody have anything to say about that?
Through modesty, you're showing God that you know your body is a sacred creation from Him. And through modesty, you're just promoting your chastity. And you're saying that I care about my body and I care about what people think about me.
Have you ever felt like it's been difficult to keep your standard in that way, to dress modestly? Has it ever been a difficult thing for you? What are some of the choices that you've had to make?
I once lived in Southern California, where often people, since the weather is so warm all the time, wear small amounts of clothing, very small amounts of clothing. And they often wanted to know why I dressed as modestly, but obviously they did not want to offend me or anything. So, you know, they would try to state it as kindly as they could. And I often got expressions like, "So why do you dress so warm?" and things like that. And I would just explain to them that it was my standards. And at first, I was really scared to say that. I thought, you know, maybe they'd think I was weird or stuff like that. But I was generally surprised. People after really started to respect me. And I found that no one felt uncomfortable around me because when you're confident in what you do, other people are also.
I think that's a great comment. Thank you. When you're confident about what you are doing, other people pick up on that confidence. Now, we've talked about modesty and your friends and, you know, some of the other things that you can do. What other items would put you in a place to keep yourself safe? Yes.
Well, I think dating is a big thing and just keeping and staying in groups when you're dating and to make sure there's other people around. In my family, I can't single date, and that keeps me safe because I know that I have good other people around me.
Many of us have grown up in a culture where a lot of people are encouraging us to be modest and have good friends and go to good places. Ludovica, You come all the way from Italy, and you live in a culture maybe a little bit different from ours. Can you tell us how you can protect yourself in a different place, in a difficult spot?
So when I went in my school in Italy, it was difficult to defend my standards. I had to put my focus every day in the school to defend our spiritually. And I think the most important things that we have to do for the other people to show our spiritually, we have to be modest, and it's very important for the other people, because you show how you receive the light of the gospel in your face, and the people see you and will say, wow, every time I see you, I see you're happy. And sometimes happened in my last school, even if it's difficult, so hard to respect the commandments and go ahead every day, but if you know what you're doing in your life, it's so easy to show your example every day to the other people.
I have to tell you that all of the young women in this room right now have what Sister Dalton would call their shiny on. It means that their spirits are shining through. Their eyes are bright. There's an illumination about their faces and their beings because they've done what's right. Now, sometimes it's very nice to go out with a young man that's it's always nice to go out with a young man that treats you well. I take that back. But when you have someone that you really care about, that you're starting to care about, how do you keep yourself with that particular young man clean, sexually pure?
I think always making sure that you have the spirit with you, making sure you surround yourself with people and in the places that you are at, that the spirit is able to be there.
Now, you said you gave a new idea, places. What do places have to do with your being sexually pure?
Oh, well, sometimes I think that in situations, we just need to think ahead. You know, I think you'd be surprised how many bad situations you could avoid if you just would think. You know, like the whole expression, common sense sometimes is not very common. So, you know, when there's going to be some boys there that you don't know very well, and maybe you're going to be watching a movie that just isn't that great, you can either bring along some friends that you know have very high standards and suggest a different movie, or just maybe choose to skip out on that. I mean, that is always fine to skip out on one thing.
You are absolutely right. President Packer said, it is not expected that you go through life without making mistakes. You may in time of trouble think that you are not worth saving because you have made mistakes, big or little, and you think you are now lost. That is never true. Only repentance can heal what hurts, but repentance can heal what hurts, no matter what it is. We have another special guest with us this afternoon, and he gets to answer all of the really tough questions, and I'm going to pose some of those questions to him. This is Bishop David Bitter, and he is with us today to talk about when something goes wrong. Bishop Bitter, how do you feel when a young person comes to you who has a really difficult situation where they need to confess?
As a bishop, I am completely thrilled for them that they've made a difficult choice. They've chosen to act. They've chosen to repair themselves. And I am joyful to see the relief that comes in their life and the burden that's lifted. It's just not that hard. I think the adversary makes it hard. If you've made a mistake, the adversary will make it seem larger magnify it. But that mistake conveyed by using the keys of the priesthood, go to your bishop, sit down with him, talk with him, if you even have a question in your mind, and when you have that exchange, the mighty power of the atonement and repentance comes into play. It's a thrilling experience, to be candid with you.
Do you know, I think about a young woman who is starting to really care for a young man and has mistakenly assumed that that caring is shown best by a physical intimacy in some way. She may feel that her going to speak with you is a betrayal of him in some way. Can you speak to that?
Sure. Now, physical intimacy is what the Lord intends between a man and a woman after marriage. It's a manifestation of love. Before marriage, it's exactly the opposite. It's a manifestation of deceit and selfishness. And if a young woman feels like she may be betraying a young man by correcting maybe some intimacy that's taken place, that's not the case. She's probably more likely helping herself and the young man overcome deception and selfishness.
So really to go to the bishop will be the best for both of them, and she needs to be able to feel that way.
Absolutely.
Do you feel the love of the Savior for that young person as you counsel with them?
Immediately. And what I find absolutely remarkable is in every case when a young man or a young woman wants to lift a burden and make that change, it's almost like somebody turned the temperature up in the room 3 or 4 degrees. The room is warm. I feel warm. I see relief and on the young woman's or young man's face and their expression. It's a very happy experience.
I am so grateful to our Father in heaven for giving us the opportunity that when things do go wrong, that we can go and have those resolved so that we can have the Spirit of the Lord with us again. Yes, Ludovica.
Thank you. In fact, about that, I want to share a scripture.
Wonderful.
And his in Isaiah 1st chapter, verse 18, it said, "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sin be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." I think in this case, the bishops are the example of Jesus Christ. And we can, every time we want, resolve this. Jesus is there to help us, and doesn't matter what you did.
Ludovica, thanks. It's a perfect scripture. I love the word reason that is in that scripture. Reason to me means work it out. You figure it out. You work it out, and you work the problem and remove the problem.
Yes, Anne Marie.
If you're worried that anyone would think less of you for going and talking, don't feel that way, because if you've ever met anyone that has done something hard and pulled through it, you know, and made their life right, you're astounded. When people do not give themselves an excuse for being bad, but they just pull through and they be the best person they can be, that's just, it makes you just in awe of them.
I agree wholeheartedly. We've talked a lot about the really tender parts, you know, going to see the bishop if something goes wrong. But what are the amazing and beautiful blessings that come when we live a truly pure life, when our lives are full, not only of sexual purity, but of purity? What are the blessings that come to us?
Well, for me, I just don't feel any guilt. I just feel so free. For me, I feel this freedom to go about my life, and I just feel confident in my choices and knowing that I have the Spirit with me because I've made the right choices.
You can sleep really well when your life is free of guilt. Now, we talked about the influence. If you had a problem with sexual purity, we talked about the influence it might have on future generations. Have any of you ever pictured or thought about your future family? What difference does it make if you are sexually pure?
I think the moment that we will be able to create in our family are so sweet, like the family home evening with our children, and can create those sweet moments with them and teach them what we did in our life when we had the same their age. And I think the most beautiful things that we can think about our family is how we can show our example to them, because one day they will be like us, like what we did and what we showed to them.
Do you know, I think about when we talk about our marriage date and looking forward to our young families, sometimes we think about the kind of dress that we will wear or the kind of party that we might have following. But I think about how tender that is, to think of joining with a wonderful, clean young man and giving yourself to him in a beautiful way, knowing that you are clean. And then all those years to come, when you look at those little children who have come to your home from God himself, and knowing that they're in a safe place, it's one of the best things you can give children. Yes, Kiara.
Well, when I think about like my future and stuff and like my future family, the world already today has so many temptations, and you're just surrounded by them every day in every way. And so right now as teenagers, we need to prepare for what's to come. And for our children, it's going to get harder and harder. It's just going to get worse. The temptations are going to get worse. And so I think if we prepare now to help them and show our example to them, they'll know that they can make it through just like we did.
If you had one thing that you could say to all the young women who are listening all over the world, what would you say to them, Kiara?
I would just say, if you find yourself struggling with sexual temptation, you can choose to resist, and the Lord will make a way for you to escape so you will be able to bear that temptation.
The Lord will make a way for you to escape. That's wise counsel.
I think just wait for your Prince Charming. That day will come, and that day will be glorious. And I think waiting for that is so important. And also to bring back the idea of virtue and be more vigilant. Be a stronger example. Don't be afraid to rise up when you see something that isn't right.
Sister Dalton has called it a return to virtue, probably because as a culture, we need to return to the idea of virtue, of thinking about it, understanding how important it is, but also to the idea that if you have had a problem, if you've made a mistake, that the Lord can make that absolutely clean. Bishop, if you had anything to say to the young women all over the world about this subject, what would you say?
When I think of the young women, I think you are very capable in carrying the sword of truth. And the sword of truth has two edges. One is to defend, and you're going to defend your values. You're going to defend the way you dress. You're going to defend the things that you've been taught in the strength of youth. There's another edge on the sword, and that is an offensive edge. That's to cut. And I don't really mean that in the physical sense, but when you cut, sometimes you need to proclaim. And instead of defending, there's other times when you're called on to teach why we dress the way we do, why we behave the way we do, why reserving intimacy after marriage is so important. You've discussed that today. That is the offensive side or the cutting side of the sword. And when you share that with the young men inside and outside of the church, they get it. They will follow that lead in detail and will become a great support. It's when we have ambiguity and there's a lack of understanding, a lack of feeling, where problems arise. It's when we are thinking ahead and using that that proclamation edge of the sword, if you will, that problems never happen.
Young women are a huge influence for good in the life of young men. I agree. And Marie, if you had one thing to say, what would it be?
Right now, like while we're in high school, sometimes there's this pressure that you need to have like a boyfriend or something like that. There is no need. Just really make the most out of your high school life and just save that So you're staying relationship for college or after high school when you find someone serious that you want to date and maybe marry.
Ludovica, I have left you for the very last one on purpose because, Ludovica, I would love you to bear your testimony of the gospel of Jesus Christ and what it means to you in your life.
Thank you, sister. I think the most important things that we have to do in this life, as my testimony, is to follow the commandments of Jesus Christ that said, build your house upon the rock, and it all will be well for you in your life. And I think Jesus Christ and my testimony are very strong together. Every time I pray and every day I try to search my testimony in everything I do in my days, I have a very strong testimony of Heavenly Father because He showed me every day how to do better. And I want to do always my best.
All of us join in expression of that testimony. To all of you who are listening all over the world, may you know that Jesus is the Christ and that He's provided a way for you always to be close to Him, that your Heavenly Father loves you and has provided a great plan for you, that the gospel of Jesus Christ has been restored to the earth. All of us proclaim that today, and thank you for listening.
You've been listening to We Will Stand on the Mormon Channel, a media outlet of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Join us each week as young women from around the world share their hopes, struggles, and triumphs. Like us on Facebook for daily updates about what's happening on the Mormon Channel.